This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a joy to be with all of you in this time of worship, those of you who are with us in the sanctuary and those who are joining us over live stream or Facebook. We are grateful for the Spirit of Christ that keeps us united in this time of worship. I would invite everyone who's worshiping with us in this moment to sign in and let us know that you're with us. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. And if you'll sign those and pass those down and back again, if you're sitting on the center aisle and would be willing to tear out all of the sheets that have been filled out and place them on the top, that's a huge help for our volunteers who come in on Mondays to sort through those. If you're online, you can register at the link that should be up on the screen to let us know that you were here. As we gather this morning, we will be sharing in communion. It is World Communion Sunday, and I'm grateful to Pastor Maggie and Pastor Brandon who helped put together this beautiful display of the breads of the world. And if you have not yet received, if you're in the sanctuary and have not gotten one of these are available in the Narthex and in Reed Hall. They're a little different from the ones we've been using. These are the gluten-free elements, and you start by getting the piece of bread from the bottom. Open that first, and then open the top of the cup so that you don't open the cup and then have to turn it upside down. And if you need any help with that, just let one of our ushers know, and we can help you with that. If you're at home, we hope you'll take a moment to get some bread or crackers, some juice, water, or wine, and partake of the elements with us as we do that together in the moment of communion. After receiving communion, we have now placed little receptacles at the end of each row, or most of the rows, to give you a place to put the containers after you're finished with them, so you don't have to put them in your purse and get juice in your purse on the way home. For those of you who do worship regularly with us online or live stream or Facebook, we are looking for some folks to serve as hosts in that online space, to welcome people, to pass the peace with people, to share the announcements. So if you would be willing to do that, if you'll contact Pastor Aaron or Julie Catterton, we'll be happy to get you signed up to do that. Today is the first Sunday of the month, and our college students are invited to gather for lunch after worship. We gather in the Narthex just outside the sanctuary, and lunch is always on us. So we hope that you'll come and maybe next month bring a friend. Finally, next Sunday at 4 p.m. in the afternoon, our sanctuary choir will be leading us in a service of evensong. So whether you join us in the sanctuary or over live stream, you will be surrounded by beautiful music and scriptures that will be contemplative and prayerful. So we hope you'll plan to join us at 4 o'clock next Sunday. On this World Communion Sunday, I'm grateful to be wearing a stole that was made for me and given to me by the children of this congregation. And I know some of you have much bigger handprints now, but I wanted to let you know that this was a gift from this congregation, and these handprints come from our very own children. So as children of God, let us now prepare to enter into this time of worship and praise together.
from north and south, from east and west.
In humble homes and in stately sanctuary.
With people of all ages, backgrounds, identities. At this table, we are nourished by God's grace. At this table, many become one in the body of Christ. Let us come now before God with our confessions, with the assurance that who we are, that what we carry, are held within the God of perfect love, who knows us intimately, who cares for us deeply, and whose compassion and mercy have no end. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confession in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, we will now exchange signs of reconciliation and love. For those of you who are in the sanctuary, please be COVID-friendly, elbow bumps, peace signs. For those online, we invite you to greet one another with the peace of Christ in the comments. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you. Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel, Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to him. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant, and he said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite any children who are in the sanctuary who would like to come forward and join me up here. And for those of you watching online, just to move a little closer to your screens, join us. Yeah, you can bring a parent or a friend if you want to. Good to see everybody. I see lots of people who are very smart and wearing rain boots this morning. I should have done that myself. Speaking of boots, I'm going to talk a little bit about shoes this morning. Do any of you know yet how to tie your shoes? Yeah, you know how to tie your shoes? I learned to tie my shoes when I think I was about 4. My older sister taught me how to tie my shoes. But when I was younger than that, I didn't know how to tie my shoes. And so I had to come into the kitchen every morning with my shoes untied and ask, "Mom, Dad, one of my older sisters or my older brother, will you please tie my shoes?" I was dependent on them. That's kind of a big word, but I was dependent on them to tie my shoes for me. And you know what? They always did. That reminds me that even when we get to be grown up, we still need other people, and we still need God. We need God to help us every day to make good choices, to be kind, to say kind words, to be generous and share with other people, and to do the right things. And so it's good for us to go to God every day, every morning, every night, and ask for God's help to be God's people. So, next time someone is tying your shoes, or next time you're tying your own shoes, just say a little prayer to God and say, "God, help me be the person you want me to be today." Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, thank you so much for loving us more than we could possibly measure. Thank you for giving us what we need every day to love and to be your people. Help us to pray every day and ask for your help and to trust that you will help us, just as our parents and friends and loved ones help us every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much for listening, those of you here and those online. If you are 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Maggie, who's waving at us over there, to Children's Church in Scales Chapel. And parents can pick them up in the chapel after church. And if you are not 3, 4, or 5, you can return to your seats with parents and friends. Are you 4?
Seven.
Okay, well, I'm glad you asked. It's not always clear, is it? Bye. I love this story that Beth read for us, but I can't help, as I hear it, to feel a little sorry for the disciples. These poor disciples. They get a bad rap. In all four of the Gospels, the disciples, the 12, seem to come across as a little thick-headed, not quite understanding what Jesus is trying to teach them. And it's especially clear in Mark's Gospel. In Mark's Gospel, over and over again, the 12 say the wrong thing, they do the wrong thing, they misunderstand what Jesus is saying, they just don't come across as looking very good. In this fall season, we're going to be walking through chapters 9 through 14 of Mark's Gospel from now until Thanksgiving. And even so far, just the little bit of chapter 9 and chapter 10 that we've read, the disciples have messed up a bunch. If we go to the beginning of chapter 9, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up to the mountain of Transfiguration. And even there, surrounded by the holiness as Moses and Elijah show up and Jesus' face begins to glow, Peter's more interested in building three tents so we can all move in and stay up here forever. He doesn't understand what's going on. And when they come down the mountain, they find that the other disciples have been trying and failing to heal a young boy who's been possessed by a spirit. They can't do it. So finally, Jesus walks up and actually says to them, "How long must I put up with you people?" basically. And then he casts out the evil spirit and heals the boy. When the disciples ask him later why they couldn't do it, he says, "This kind of spirit requires prayer." Which says to me that the disciples were trying to do this amazing miracle, this great healing, without praying first, without turning to God for help and for power. And then it keeps going. As Sarah McCain preached last week, we see the disciples, right after they failed to cast out this demon, arguing amongst themselves about which one of them is the greatest. That doesn't go over well with Jesus. And then it just gets worse until we arrive at this moment, the beginning of this story. Jesus is in the midst, in the height of his ministry. He's surrounded by crowds of people who are coming to him to heal them. They want to learn from him. They see something in his spirit that they're drawn to. And yet the disciples are standing in the way. The story begins that says people were bringing children to Jesus. There was something about Jesus' spirit that they knew he would welcome their children, that he wouldn't turn them away. And yet, here come the disciples. I picture them with black t-shirts and the white staff, you know, like a bouncer. They're being bouncers for Jesus. Don't get too close to the talent. He's an important man. He doesn't have time for you. He doesn't have time for children. As if they're trying to manage who has access to Jesus and who doesn't. Now, maybe they're just worried about Jesus. Maybe their motives are good, that they see that he's tired, that he's surrounded by constant demands and people asking things of him, and maybe they're trying to just slow down all of that. But whatever their motives are, Jesus is not happy. He sees what they're doing, trying to limit access, trying to prevent the children from getting to him. And Mark's gospel tells us he is indignant. He is angry with these disciples. And we can understand, has he not just told them, just a few verses before this, which we heard last week, "Do not put a stumbling block between me and any of these little ones." And what is this, if not a stumbling block? Preventing access of the most vulnerable, the powerless, the weak, from getting to Jesus. They have totally missed the point. And Jesus goes on to say, and he has told them this before, "It is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs." You can't enter the kingdom of God if you are not like these little ones. Let these words sink in for a moment. It's almost hard to grasp the radical thing that Jesus is saying here. In a world where power and status and control are what we all strive for, Jesus is saying, if you want to live life with God, if you want to be open to the fullness of life that God has to offer, you have to be with the vulnerable. You have to learn from the powerless and the weak. They hold the keys to the kingdom of heaven. So what is it exactly that Jesus is saying to you and to me? I think it's worth it for each one of us to prayerfully ponder these words of Jesus and what they specifically are calling each of us to do. But when I hear these words, one of the things I hear is an invitation from Jesus to do the inward work, to allow ourselves to be vulnerable, to be willing to admit that I need God, that without the love and grace of Christ, I am nothing. It's easy to say, but it is something that I have to practice each and every day because I forget. Just a few days ago, this week, I got to this point of mental and emotional exhaustion, feeling overwhelmed and inadequate for all of the things that are before us and recognizing places that I had failed. And then I read this text again and realized I'm just like those disciples who were trying to heal that young man without praying first. And I find myself getting into this pattern of doing it myself and thinking I'm going to have all the answers without taking the time I need to pray, to ask God to help me, to recognize my own inadequacy and limits, to ask God to tie my shoes because I can't do it. And so maybe there's an invitation in this text for each one of us to admit our own vulnerability, our own dependence, our own neediness. But there's also an outward invitation. Yes, there's an invitation for us in our own spiritual work, but also for us as a congregation, as the body of Christ, connected with all of the bodies of Christ across the world. There's an invitation from Jesus to open access, to welcome the least and the powerless and the vulnerable and the weak, to be the kind of gathered community that doesn't expect you to have everything together, to be strong and successful, but instead honors and welcomes and nurtures that need within us, welcomes the vulnerable. I couldn't read this text this week without thinking about this moment that we're in as a country, as a globe, in this time of pandemic, and the vulnerability of children right now. All these children who are 11 years old and younger don't have access to the vaccine yet. And so they're dependent on us to protect them and to keep them safe, and to do everything we can to make this world and this environment safe for them. And if all it is a simple ask of wearing a mask, sign me up. Yes, it's annoying, it makes my upper lip sweat, and my nose runs, and my fogs up my glasses, but that's no sacrifice to make if it helps protect the vulnerable around me. And I'm so grateful to be part of a congregation that is totally on board with that. When we realized we needed to go back to wearing masks on Sunday morning at the end of the summer, I heard no complaints at all. I heard support and, yep, we can do this and we're with you and no big deal. And thanks be to God for that. That's one thing we can do to protect the most vulnerable around us. How else are we called as a community of faith to open our arms, to open the doors of the church to those who are vulnerable and needy around us? I'll tell you one more story. Some of you know that a couple of weeks ago, we had a table at the Pride Festival alongside several other United Methodist churches in our area. It was such a powerful experience to stand together and offer joy and welcome and serve communion in that setting. I had the privilege of serving communion, and then I had to leave, but I heard a story from my friend Paul Perdue, who's one of the pastors at Belmont United Methodist Church across the way. He had someone come up to him. Now, Paul, if you know Paul Perdue, he's got a head full of silver hair, a big smile, a big laugh, kind of a jolly guy. And he had someone come up to him and say, "Can I have a dad hug? I haven't been hugged by my father in 5 years." And so Paul embraced this person, and they stood together and wept together. What a powerful image of embracing someone who is hurting, who is vulnerable. I'm so grateful to be part of a congregation that is willing to go out of these walls and offer that kind of unconditional love and support to all people. And we do that in so many different ways, and we continue to keep before us that question: who else can we reach? Where else is there pain in our community? How can we be sources of love and light and hope? How can we welcome others to this beautiful table of grace? Because the truth is, my friends, we are all hungry. We all have within us a deep need for grace. We come to this table with the equal need of everybody else. And we have found our place. We have discovered the bread of life that claims us and fills us. And thanks be to God, we are given the privilege of going out into the world to bring others in. Never to be bouncers for Jesus, but to be ushers, welcoming all to the table. Amen.
Would you rise in body or in spirit and join me as we affirm our faith together? A statement of faith of the Korean Methodist Church, number 884 in your hymnals, or it'll be on your screen if you're joining us online. We believe in the one God, creator and sustainer of all things, father of all nations, the source of all goodness and beauty, all truth and love. We believe in Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, our teacher, example, and redeemer, the Savior of the world. We believe in the Holy Spirit, God present with us for guidance, for comfort, and for strength. We believe in the forgiveness of sins, in the life of love and prayer, and in grace equal to every need. We believe in the Word of God, contained in the Old and New Testaments, as the sufficient rule of faith and practice. We believe in the Church, those who are united in the living Lord, for the purpose of worship and service. We believe in the reign of God, as the divine will realized in human society, and in the family of God, where we are all brothers and sisters. We believe in the final triumph of righteousness and in the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to our prayer time this morning, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout this week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you're here with us in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew racks in front of you that you can place in the offering boxes at the back and side doors of the sanctuary on your way out this morning. This morning we remember Fletcher Foster and his family and friends who are remembering the anniversary of the death of his husband, Dennis Johnson, who passed away on October 7th, 2019. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of all people, we give you thanks that you welcome us all to your table with open arms. We give you thanks for the communities of faithful people throughout the world who reflect the diversity of your creation and the expansiveness of your love. And we give you thanks for the table set before us this day, a tangible reminder that though we are many, we are one in Christ Jesus. We remember today those who hunger and thirst and yet are not satisfied. We pray for those who hunger for food, shelter, and medical care. We especially remember children throughout the world who will go to bed tonight with empty bellies and without the comfort and protection of a safe home. Surround all of these with your protection and provision, O God. We lift up those who hunger to be known and understood, who hunger for acceptance and belonging. Comfort them with your presence and your steadfast love, O God. We pray with those who hunger for justice, for peace, and for your kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. May our prayers move us to action, that even as we are fed at your table this morning, we might be energized and empowered to share what we have with others. May we offer tangible reminders of your love and grace to all those who hunger. And finally, O God, we pray for the Church Universal, for the body of Christ. By your Spirit, unite us in the work of your kingdom, that with you we might participate in the nurture and nourishment of your beloved creation. All of this we ask in the name of Christ. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings this morning, we recognize that everyone is in a different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries in this congregation and throughout the world, we invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. For those of you worshiping with us online, you're invited to give via the options listed on the screen. And for those of you here in the sanctuary, there are offering boxes, as I mentioned, at the back and side doors of the sanctuary where you can leave your offering following the service. Let us now offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, along with our hearts, to our loving God.
your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth. You have made from one every nation and people to live on all the face of the earth. We are, each one and all, made in your image. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
May be seated. Holy are you, O God, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. He came into this world as a poor and vulnerable child. He and his family were refugees, fleeing the violence and oppression of Herod and seeking safety in a new land. He opened his arms to children whom he welcomed and blessed. He spent his ministry healing the sick, feeding the hungry, and breaking bread with the outcast. He commissioned us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth, and today his family in all the world is joining at his holy table. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, and broke the bread, and then gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we sing the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on all who are gathered together and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with your church throughout the world and strengthen it in every nation and among every people to open our arms to the children, open our doors to the outcast, and open our hearts to witness faithfully in your name.
By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at the heavenly banquet.
Through you,
on this World Communion Sunday, we invite you to say this prayer of our Lord in your native language. Let us pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. My family in Christ, as the many various grains are gathered together in one loaf, we who are many beautiful, diverse children of God are gathered together in one body, the body of Christ. And though we drink from many different cups, many shapes and sizes, we share in the one cup, the cup of grace that is poured out for everybody. Before we partake of our own elements in the room and at home online, just a few extra words of instruction and invitation. This table is the table of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and in our United Methodist tradition, everyone is welcome in the table. There are no bouncers for Jesus. There's access for all, and there's a place at this table with your name on it. So you are welcome, and all are welcome. As we share in communion in this congregation, we always have an opportunity for a second mile gift to one of the missions of our church. And this month's communion offering will go to support all of the Wesley Foundations on college campuses in Middle Tennessee. That includes places like Belmont University, Vanderbilt, TSU, Fisk, Middle Tennessee State University, Tennessee Tech. This money that you give today will go to support young people on their journey as they continue to grow in faith and service. As we lift up this bread and this cup, we remember our siblings in Christ across the world who gather virtually and in person, breaking bread of every shape, color, texture, and taste. We remember those of the faith who cannot receive these gifts openly. We remember and we receive on their behalf through the power and unity of the Holy Spirit. So, my friends, let us each take the bread and the cup offered to us. Beginning with the bread first, may we receive the body and blood of Christ, the life of Christ, into our bodies and into our lives. I invite you now to stand in body or in spirit and join with me in giving thanks for the grace we have received. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts. Amen. May the power and passion and hope of this final hymn continue to ring through the world. May we bring a message of hope and love and justice and peace that begins within and moves outward to the world through the power and love of Christ. Amen.